Yes, indeed. Exclusively right here on the program, where today we will talk about some of the things that Tim talked about all year that have absolutely come to fruition. Always great talking to football insider, life coach, pal, Tim Grunhard.
Good job. Good job down there in Minneapolis at the Mall of America.
Yeah.
Enjoyed listening to you guys and really nice segments. Good guests.
We were certainly helped out by the fact that the Chiefs made a trade.
Yes.
Because the number one story, because let's be honest, you put that many media pigs in one location, waiting on a game when they haven't played for 2 weeks, you're looking for other stories. And the number one story was the Chiefs. Was trading Alex Smith, was Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I went on two different Denver stations.
I was going to say,
DC.
They have to take a number for you to go on their stations?
Oh, man, it was, I'd have to sit and think. DC, San Diego, two in Denver, Seattle, Omaha. You know, some of that's just regional. Omaha is just regional. One or two others. There are guys like Nashville. There are guys I'm like, I don't even know you. Why, you know, whatever.
And some of the just audibles you're calling with guys walking by in Redskins uniforms and saying, hey, yeah, what do you think of the trade?
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. You guys did a really nice job down there. I told you guys I was there for all of 20 minutes in Minneapolis. Did I tell you that story?
Yes. Well, we didn't talk about it on the air, but you told me you were headed up there. So tell me about what you were doing, how it worked.
Basically, had a 12:37 flight out of KCI to Minneapolis. Landed a little bit before 2 o'clock. Got in a Uber. Ubered over to the Hilton Minneapolis, went up the escalator, went into a room, got my Super Bowl tickets, went down the escalator, got back in an Uber, went back to the airport, and flew back and was home by 7 o'clock.
So you left?
I literally didn't stop to go. And there were people I saw there, but I just didn't want to get into it. Mm-hmm. I was at a focus. It was a quest just to get up, get in, and get out. And it was funny because I saw about four or five guys I'm pretty good friends with. And, you know, they say, hey, Granny, I'm this waved because they were sitting at the bar. And I knew if I stop at the bar.
And why do you get Super Bowl tickets?
I get Super Bowl tickets because I am on the I'm the president of the new president of the ambassadors.
Okay.
So if you're the president or vice president or in charge of a group. The golf committee or something, you get Super Bowl tickets.
Okay,
so
very cool.
That's why I got them, and this is the first time
seats?
I've gotten them since.
How are your
They
seats?
Were good. They were section, I think it was 140, which was the end zone, row 16 or so. So not bad.
Yeah,
not bad. Gave them to Mr. Barber, and he had some friends from Philadelphia.
Oh, good.
That were able to buy them and go. We didn't make a ton of money. I know it really wasn't that about that, but just, you know, made my money back, made my flight back, and somebody from Philadelphia was able to go. So it was kind of cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good for you. Good for you. Good for Sean, who obviously had a lot of Sean Barber, former Chiefs linebacker you're talking about,
yes,
I assume. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Sean Barber.
And excellent stand-in.
Yeah. Did a great job. Yeah.
For our season finale, he was really good.
Did a really good job because Grunny said, hell no, I'm not coming in. So we're like, well, we need help. And Barber was very, very good.
Well, good. I don't remember this, but I don't remember ever saying no to you guys.
You were on one of your 17 family.
Yeah, you were. We already knew you were on the road.
Yeah, we did.
Was that the doctor's? Was that the doctor's offices or was that the swim meets? It must have been the
I think it was the swim meet.
I was going through the swim meet. I had four swim meets in a row. And off this weekend, but leaving on Wednesday to go to ACC Championships where Kaylee will be swimming. And I think Greensboro. Greensboro, yeah.
Okay.
And
I think that was the Citrus Bowl we missed you on because it was New Year's Eve.
There was a Citrus Bowl.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, excited for her first ACC championships, and so it'll be fun.
Yeah,
it'll
be very cool.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, let's talk about the deal. It was the biggest talk down there at Radio Row. Alex Smith being traded to the Washington Redskins. They get Kendall Fuller in a third-round pick, and then the Redskins sign him. And none of this is official until the new league year comes about, but to a 4-year, $94 million extension with $71 million guaranteed. Where you want to start on that?
Well, first of all, I think it's a big-time home run for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
It really is. If you think of, and we talked about it over and over here, it's not that we had anything against Alex Smith. All right, we talked about the cap ramifications and all that kind of stuff, and I don't even want to go that way. I just think for the health of this team and really just for the psyche of this team, it was time to make a decision. And let's not have just questions about who's going to be the starter, who's going to be in there playing. Should we have the young guy in? Should we keep with the consistent veteran guy? And I told you before and visited with a couple guys after the season, and they reiterated. I mean, they weren't going to come out and say that we didn't, you know, we wanted this guy or that guy. But there was a sentiment in the locker room that some guys wanted Mahomes and some guys wanted Smith. It's as simple as that. It was usually the younger guys kind of wanted Mahomes and the older guys wanted Smith. And now that decision has been made. And so I think it's a home run for the Kansas City Chiefs for a couple reasons. Number one, you free up a lot of that space. Number two, there's no question now. Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback. This is your guy. He was born here in Kansas City. All right? I'm not saying literally, but he's the quarterback was born here in Kansas City. He was drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs. It's been a long time since the Kansas City Chiefs have put their neck out and drafted a guy at the quarterback position in the first round. Now you go ahead and you live with it. You take your medicine one way or another, and he's your guy. And it's good for Kansas City. I think Kansas City Chiefs fans as a whole, whether you like Alex Smith or not, whether you think Alex Smith would have won more games or not, I think that they're saying, listen, this is our guy. We have our quarterback. And most of them, if you talk to them, they say, listen, we'll live and die with some of the mistakes. We'll live and die with some of the problems. But this is our guy. And there's something nice about that. There's something unique about that here in Kansas City. Because it's been such a long time since the Kansas City Chiefs put their stamp on a guy and made them, he is our quarterback. We're not borrowing him. We're not adopting him. He is our quarterback. So I think in that aspect, it's a great move for the Chiefs. Plus, they were able to go and they got a nice third-round draft choice for it. Also, they got a starter who's a very, very qualified cornerback.
Right.
Now, you play him in the slot, you play him in the corner, whatever. He's a quality defensive player.
Quality coverage corner.
Graded out very, very well, according to
Pro Football Focus. Had their best defender, according to Pro Football Focus.
So now you have you don't have to worry about that other corner position. Let's just put it this way. Let's say that the Kansas City Chiefs still had their first-round draft choice, and they went out and drafted a corner, and they drafted Fuller. Let's say they drafted Fuller. Now you know. I mean, this is basically like they just drafted Fuller for that first-round pick. You know you have a good football player. There's no question that this guy can play in the league. There's no question he can compete in the league, and there's no question that he has the ability to go out and be a difference maker on the defensive side. So isn't that worth a first-round pick? I think it's a great, great move for the Kansas City Chiefs in just about every aspect, any way you look at it.
I do, too. And I think from the evaluation on making a trade for Brett Veach, and listen, I know he's come out in support and has been very passionate that he believed Pat Mahomes was the best quarterback in last year's draft, and that's all great. But that's still John Dorsey and Andy Reid's pick. I mean, he's part of the decision-making process. But this one's on Brett Veach. And so I think to evaluate this trade, I've heard a lot of people say, well, if Pat Mahomes doesn't do this or that, that trade sucks. Or if Alex Smith does this, no. The trade is what the trade is. What Alex Smith does with the Redskins will now be a product of Alex Smith and the Redskins. And whatever Kendall Fuller does here in Kansas City will be a product. The value that they got for a guy with 1 year left on his contract that's going to be 34 years old and was scheduled to be a $17 million hit on the cap and has gone was he 1-2 in San Francisco was he 1-1? He's gone 2-5 as a starter, right? And 2-4 in Kansas City, or 1-4 in Kansas City as in the playoffs. What the hell is he in the playoffs?
I think
that's what I'm getting at. I'm on a lot of meds.
1-2 in San Francisco.
1-2?
I thought he was.
Okay. I thought he's 1-1.
You might be right.
1-1 in San Francisco and 1-4 here, 2-5 overall. I mean, that value, when you just evaluate the trade, they got really good value. I mean, I think they got really good value, and I think that's why they jumped on it. And so I think you got to evaluate that. First and foremost, Brett Veach did a good job. All right, I got it right on the record. 1-1 and 2-5 overall, 1-4 in KC. That's important to note because I want to have confidence in Brett Veach. I think
if he would have just got the draft pick, I would have been okay.
Not
a bad move.
I'd have been like solid.
Yeah, solid.
That's what I expected.
Yep.
He got the player on top of it. home run. Home I run. Mean, and that's, to me, a really
and,
nice
and
move.
And I just want to, and kind of getting back to what I was talking about with this whole
But if Patrick Mahomes sucks, that deal does not suck.
No.
It has that not deal been, is fine. It, Patrick Mahomes will be his own story.
And absolutely. And that's kind of what I want to get to. And I think this is the one thing that we could fall into a trap, and I am going to be cognizant of trying not to do this as Patrick Mahomes' era here in Kansas City starts. You can't every time a game is played at Arrowhead Stadium or anywhere else with Patrick Mahomes starting at quarterback, you can't compare him to how Alex Smith is doing. I think that's unfair for the kid. I think that's not the way that really should be. You know, listen, Patrick Mahomes as a player will not grow if he has to live in the shadow of Alex Smith here in Kansas City for the next 3 or 4 years. He will not grow. The sun needs to hit Patrick Mahomes, and the shadow of Alex Smith cannot be there. If every time he throws an interception, or every time the Chiefs lose a game, or every time he doesn't throw for 350 yards, or every time he runs around and throws a ball that's ill-advised, you say, well, Alex Smith won the game, or Alex Smith would have done this, or Alex Smith would have done that, then the kid's not going to grow.
You know, that is a wonderful sentiment. That is a wonderful sentiment.
It's not going to happen.
It has no chance of being any kind of reality whatsoever. Zero.
But me, personally, I don't want to be that guy. Okay. I don't want to sit here
and evaluate
Patrick Mahomes off of a guy who's played for multiple years, for multiple teams, and a guy who's been around a long time, and Alex Smith. If you compare those two guys, it's going to be so heavy, and it's going to weigh down on this Patrick Mahomes thing.
Couple things. I'll disagree with you a little bit. One, because it's going to happen. And two, that's life of being a quarterback, man. I mean, until you have that resume, didn't Elvis Gerback have to wear it? Didn't Steve Bono? I mean, they all got to wear who they are and are not. And now in Kansas City, you know, I had a couple of minutes to talk to him off the record. Or not off the air. I don't want to say off the record because it was not off the record. Off the air. And we got
and
done.
Who are you talking to?
Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
Because we taped the interview with Patrick Mahomes after the show on Thursday, I think, and then ran it on Friday. And we ran snippets of it here. We gave snippets of it to run in the afternoons and gave it to 41. And we had it on Facebook Live. You might have caught it live. We ran it live on Facebook Live, which we're live on Facebook Live right now with Tim Grunhard. Hey. I said to him, I go, and we were just chatting, and I said, well, you know, it's been 48 years since Kansas City Chiefs played in this game. I mean, 48 years. He's like, wow, that's a long time. I'm like, yeah, it's been a long time. It's like before I was even born, and I'm old, right? I'm a fat old guy, and it was before I was born. He's like, yeah, it's a long time, and we're standing there with his agent, not Steinberg, but I think the guy who's the hands-on point guy. Steinberg's the head of the agency, and his main guy was right there. And we're kind of chatting. I said, but listen, this is the kind of thing where, you know, you're going to get a new fresh start. And everyone's very excited because the Chiefs drafted you. I said, but I don't know if you've noticed this. You look around, Andy Reid wears all 48 years now. He did in the first year or two. He started out 9-0, and then he's 11-5. You know, and that was great. Oh, because he surpassed expectations. Next year, 9-7. All right, a little bit. We're still a winning team. Next year gets to the playoffs. Showed some, you know, got a win. That was big. And then lost to the Patriots. So that was okay. We advanced. So then he lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that point it was, I can't believe we lost to the Steelers. And we haven't been to the Super Bowl since 1970.
Yeah.
I go,
yeah,
at that right. point, yeah. Andy Reid had to start wearing the entire organization's transgressions. I said, that will come to you as well.
Absolutely will.
And he goes,
there's no doubt. And I'm not saying it won't.
And he kind of looked at me, and I'm like, no. I said, and he was kind of messing with his phone, and I don't know how much he really listened to it, but I said, it'll be on you. I said, you're going to be everyone's darling right out of the gates. I said, but that will come to you. And I said, but I'll tell you what else it is. I said, Kansas City Royals won after not having a winning record but 1 year over 20-some-odd years. And they won a World Series after waiting 30 years since the last time that they were in the playoffs. They went to the playoffs 29 years and then won a World Series next year. I said, and an estimate of about 1.1 million people showed up for the parade. That's what they'll do if you win. And he goes, and he looked up from his phone. I caught his attention. You were there. Kyle was there. He looked up from his phone He's like, what? I said, 1.1 million people were down at Union Station on the hill and the parade route. That was the estimate. That there was 1.1 million people, I said, in a metropolitan area of about 2 million. More than half the town. I said, you know, reality was it? No, I said, but people came from miles. People came from
people were
Nebraska.
Parking on I-35 yes. or 635, just pulling cars over because they couldn't get in.
I said, that's what it'll be like if you do win. And he's like, wow.
See, I don't have any
problem. Wow, that seemed to register with
him. I don't have any problem with putting kind of the future and the pressure of this organization on his shoulders. I just don't like, look, Alex Smith is gone. He was here. That's great. And I think one of the problems we have here in Kansas City, and I've been here now longer than I lived in Chicago. Gosh, I've been here since 1990. I'm not very good at math, but it's been a long, long time.
That's actually an easy one to do the math on. You are not good if you can't figure out 28 from that one.
But since I've been here, you know, it. All you hear about is everybody's compared to who? Every quarterback.
Len or Joe.
Lenny Dawson.
Yeah, a little bit of Joe.
Now, Joe, yeah, I mean, Joe came in here and, you know, with lawyers, guns, and money, and took some money, played a couple years, and kind of gone. It was great. It was great to have him here. We had the superstar. We had the Beatles in town for a couple of years. But everybody's compared to Len Dawson. And I think that I don't like it. I just don't think that.
But it's reality.
I know.
And if he can't handle it, then he's not the right guy.
And I'm not saying he can't handle it. I don't personally like it. I would like, listen, this is our guy. It's a clean slate. Alex Smith, we love you. Great Kansas Cityan.
See,
great guy. Love having you here. See ya.
I
don't want to talk about you anymore.
I don't.
But it's going to happen. You're right.
It is going to happen.
You're right.
It is going to happen. But I do equate playing quarterback to signing up to play basketball at Kansas. Okay? Five losses, three losses at home is not good enough at Kansas.
No, it's not.
It's an impossible expectation that's there. But you signed the letter of intent to go play basketball. Playing football at Notre Dame, you know it. It's an impossible expectation.
And that's what bugged me about playing there
right?
because all the pressure was – and that's what's bugging me now.
Did you not know it going in?
No, I didn't. No, I really didn't.
Okay, well, playing quarterback –
but I figured it out pretty quick.
Playing – and did it make you better?
It made me better because that's just my personality. But some people,
that's what I believe about those programs. Everybody goes, well, they get all the talent. They don't get all the talent. They get some of the talent, but the talent responds better. Number one, because coaches want to coach there because they know that it makes it easier to get the talent. But good coaches get there. Bill Self makes Kansas kids better. He makes
develops
them better.
Kids. He develops kids.
You know, all the other skills he has. And the program makes them better because they have impossible, unrealistic, at times childish expectations of their team and their players. But that drives
but what
you.
What gives us the
and that's
right.
like being a quarterback. We have impossible, unrealistic
but
expectations.
What gives us the right here to do that?
America, Tim.
No, I'm talking about Kansas City, the Kansas City Chiefs.
America.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
America.
What gives us the right to put that kind of pressure on this? Because when you come to Kansas City, it's not like, you know, the pressure's on to win a Super Bowl. We haven't won a Super Bowl in a long time.
It comes with the quarterback position, man. If you sign up to play quarterback.
I would agree with that.
That's it. And you're going to be measured that way no matter where you are. In Arizona.
Cleveland.
No, I mean, everything, there are ebbs and flows, right? There are tides. The waves go up and down. But you're still out on that ocean. And if you're taking over for Joe Montana in San Francisco, it's like Steve Young when he won that Super Bowl talking about take the monkey off my back, take it off my back, and how big that was for him. And if you're in Cleveland, no, you're going to get, like, if you can just be okay, you're going to be a hero for a while. And then they're going to be like, hey, listen, Brian Sipe played here. Otto Graham played here.
But Patrick Mahomes isn't taking over for Joe Montana.
No,
Patrick Mahomes isn't taking over for when Brady steps down.
No, and that's almost worse because you know what he's taking over for? A really good player. Alex Smith was a really good guy and a good quarterback.
Yeah,
and so that means you damn well you got to be better than good.
Yeah,
he's not. I'm like Alex Smith. And everyone was pretty content
and
with.
And he's going to learn too. And I hate to cut you off, but he's going to learn too because my brain doesn't work. So if I'll forget about it.
Okay,
I just found that out too, by the way, through my gal. I got to go into the Walmart bin. So. He's going to find out that now that he is that starting quarterback, you know, those nights in Westport and those running around the plaza and going to Power and Light, those days are over.
And that's the next challenge. We're going to find out, can he handle being the guy? Because you could come in not feeling so hot.
And there's some guys, and I'm not saying that that's happened, or, you know, I'm not saying I've heard, but some of those, I'm sure that he sat down with his agent, maybe somebody, okay, hey, did you have your fun last year? Guess what? It's over.
Yeah.
Can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you guys, you and your young guys running around, can't happen anymore. Now, that I had to figure that out, too. It took me a longer time to figure it out than other people, but because that was just me, but I wasn't quarterback. But the other thing is with social media and everything else is going on, you can make a mistake or do something stupid, and it is all over the world in about 3 seconds. We didn't have phones, thank God. We didn't have cameras on our phones, thank God. We couldn't video us. Oh, my God, thank you, Lord.
Because, what are you saying, Tim?
Yeah. You know what? You know what I had? I had a bag phone. All right, that I had to take out of my car, and it ran out of batteries in about 20 minutes.
No one agreed with you on that statement more than Frank Bull back here, by the way.
Frankie, yeah. I didn't even see him back there.
By the way,
thank God, Frankie Bull. He knows it.
We'll take a break, get Tim's reaction to Nick Foles and what his success means for the Chiefs and their evaluation team. It's Soren Petro along with Zach Morris and his bag phone here talking football in the program.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer.
That was actually a little closer than I would have liked.
I don't know what you...
What I said to you, I hope somebody was listening. I didn't hear you.
It was good.
What quarterback?
Did you?
I did not.
Good,
I was talking,
you had your headset
so I missed
on.
It,
so.
Yeah.
Was I off?
No, super. Oh, kind of, sort of.
More or less. I heard nothing.
So. Once Curtis started talking, I popped you on. So
usually once I begin talking, everyone just listens to me, right?
What's going on here?
Listenership goes, who K-Doc?
Well, I don't know. You said something, and I said something, and then Curtis started talking. So I'm just hoping it's like that's when we went, yeah, we're back on Facebook, and we're live on the air.
Yeah, every once in a while I'll say, are we on Facebook right now?
Tim was throwing around financial advice during the last.
No, I was throwing around financial scares. But
wait,
ahead,
I'm gonna have to get a job here.
I gotta get
where
a
the
job.
The market's going for crying out loud. That's what. Yeah, yeah.
My Lord.
Anyway, you were saying, Kay.
What quarterback holds the single season record for fourth quarter comebacks?
it choked me up.
Tasty. The number is 8.
The record for fourth quarter comeback
in a single season.
In a single season. By the way, Matt, you ain't joking, man. It's spicy chili, but it is good. You like spicy chili?
Love spicy chili.
23rd Street Brewery's chili. It's spicy. It's really
but
tasty.
But it's got good flavor.
23rd Street
does have good flavor.
Some
their food is
hot.
Awesome. Don't you love it?
Love it.
Great.
Love
I mean,
their food.
You know, you say 23rd Street Brewery, and they got all the TVs, great place to hang out with them, but their food is so good. Matt's done such a great job.
There's been about, between me and my friends who have gone there, probably 9 different menu items they've had. Every one of them is like top shelf.
I'm not a big brewery fan guy. I don't
like normally. Like
normally, I don't like. You know, I'm not going to mention any names, but 23rd Street does it right.
They
do a great job.
Yeah,
it's like a really good restaurant that happens to be a brewery.
No, if they got to have light beer though, there I can't eat and have all those big heavy beers for me. You know what I mean? I don't want a
petite
blah 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 stout. You know,
that actually, is a,
just give me a Corona Light or
there you
something.
Go.
Not a blah 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 raspberry blah 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 stout.
I'll take a blah 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 stout, please.
I think somebody should hatch a new stout that's called the blah 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 stout.
I'm sure you don't want the meh IPA.
All right, what were you battling about?
What's the answer?
NFL record, postseason comebacks, fourth quarter comebacks in the regular season for 1 year. Matthew Stafford, 8
wow.
in 2016,
wow. last
a year
huh?
in which he did not even play a full season.
I guess technically that's 2 years ago.
16. Yeah, 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
He is 29 today.
Joe's Kansas City Barbecue going out the door. Buy 5, get 1 free with the new Z-Man card. You like the Z-Man sandwich?
Love the Z-Man.
Z-Man's so good.
Send the Z-Man to the boys at least once a semester.
Which I still don't know how they make that fresh and good.
I don't know. They do.
That's awesome that they do. All Z-Man varieties, including the chicken Z-Man, the vegetarian Z-Man, and, of course, the original Z-Man. Buy 5, get 1 free. The card never expires, but it is only available for a limited time. They did this a year ago. It's only through March 3rd. So if you love the Z-Man, get to Joe's, get a Z-Man, get the card, and then you're in the loyalty club. Buy 5, get 1 free for the rest of your freaking lives. And you can will it on to your children, probably.
Yeah, when
I don't know. Maybe
when they find out, don't worry about it. They're Z-Man. When they get back in town, they go there four or five times.
Oh, so good. Yeah. Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, 119th and Strangline, 117th and Row, and, of course, the iconic original at 47th and Mission.
Best.
Nick Foles, spinning it, went toe-to-toe, stood toe-to-toe with the greatest quarterback that ever lived and beat him at his game. His defense did not force one punt. They did force one turnover. It was critical. It was big. I think we were probably headed to overtime without them forcing a turnover. I had some hope that the Eagles could hold them to a field goal, and that was the only hope. But I will tell you the one thing that impressed me the most about that was that I felt like when the Eagles took the ball down one, that they had to go get a touchdown and they had to get two. But that's what they had to do to win the ball game. And they didn't get the two, but they got the touchdown. I felt like their only chance was to force Brady to have to get seven, and maybe they could keep him out of the end zone. I thought there was no way they could keep him from a field goal. If they just kicked a field goal and all Brady needed was the 2 points, the three, to win it, that was absolutely happening. Did you agree with that, first of all?
I completely agreed with everything that Peterson did in that game. I really.
But do you agree that they had to get a touchdown on that?
Oh, absolutely.
Shot?
There's no doubt.
And, of course, they'd get a tack on field goal after the after they missed the two-pointer.
Right.
But Nick Foles was driving down the field knowing he had to get a touchdown, and he played like he had to get a touchdown going down that field. They converted a fourth and one, right? That was on
yes.
that final drive.
Yep.
And he found Zach Ertz.
Made a nice
Ertz,
play, avoided the rush.
Avoided the rush.
Open guy.
Found a guy and threw it into a little bit of traffic with a defender oncoming. Ertz made the catch, gets taken down immediately. It's a first down. They drive all the way down. He gets the touchdown. I mean, phenomenal performance.
I just loved. I mean, really, if you're going to take notes from the playoffs, the whole playoffs and into the Super Bowl, the aggressiveness and not taking your foot off the gas and just going after things and taking chances with play calls, taking chances with throws, you know, not worrying about the percentages. That was the lesson that I think needed to be learned from a lot of coaches out there and when you're playing in the playoffs, that you just got to keep going. You got to keep scoring. And the Eagles, they just topped that whole theory off in that game. They never let off the gas. I love some of the play calling. And you know what? I'm once again, I reported to you guys about it's not Peterson. It's the players. It's not Peterson. It's the players. And that's what I heard from a guy that's supposedly he's got to have some kind of grudge against it. Because just watching Peterson. How about when Foles comes off and said, hey, listen, we got to go for two here and let's run this play. Or
no,
hey,
go for the touchdown.
That's yeah, go for the touchdown. That's right. Yeah, go for the touchdown. I'm sorry. Go for the touchdown. Fourth and one.
But don't. By the way, don't you love the name of the play, Philly Philly?
Philly Philly. And you know we
run Philly Philly. And Peterson's like, yeah, let's do it.
And they were on the same page. They were having fun with it. They were being aggressive. There was no worry. They practiced it. They knew how to do it. Now it was close. That guy was on the line of scrimmage. It looked like they had. I don't know if you guys looked, but it looked like they had six guys on the line of scrimmage during that play.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, I'll show you a picture. But let's not.
Well,
take
you have six guys on the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, but it looked like they didn't have enough guys on the line of scrimmage.
They
on the side.
On one side.
Covered.
Okay. They weren't covered. I wasn't covered.
Okay.
But let's not worry about all that. But what a great call! And you know, those are the plays that every team practices. I don't care if you're in high school, college, or pros. You have those plays. You have those fun little, you know, kind of trick plays, and they ran it to perfection. It was a great call, and you know, some people are out there saying it's the best Super Bowl call play of all time. I don't know about that, but it was
fun. It was memorable. I mean, for what was at stake, fourth and goal from the one,
but
to go for it and then to come up with a trick play where your tight end's throwing the ball to your quarterback.
It's in the top five.
It's arguably the most memorable play. I mean, just all around. And what was at stake with what's better?
Yeah, I don't
well,
know.
You got the, I mean, see,
David
the
Kyrie's catch was better.
You got the immaculate
okay.
reception.
But that wasn't in a Super Bowl.
No, that's right. You have the catch from, you're talking
David
about
Tyree, David of the Giants.
Giants.
Where he caught it against his helmet.
Right.
That was
and
incredible.
What about last year with, who was it, Amendola?
Amendola, the ball bobbling around and him coming up with the catch. I agree, was a great one. I mean, there's some out there. I mean, I think as far as just coming up with a play design, if you're coaching and having it be nails and wide open and executed perfectly, it was great.
But getting your point on Foles.
Yeah, because I go ahead.
The game didn't look too big for him. He looked comfortable. He looked relaxed. He looked focused. He looked like he was in control. I mean, I just there's not enough words you could say about this guy that what an unbelievable performance he put up.
All right, so two things. So number one, it's way too small a sample size, which I am acknowledging up front and first and foremost to draw any definitive end-all be-all conclusion. But Nick Foles has gone toe-to-toe with the greatest that ever lived once, and he went stride for stride with him. Alex Smith went toe-to-toe with him. And again, there are 10 other guys that contributed to the performances of each quarterback. Alex Smith went toe-to-toe with him once. Who was better? Nick Foles was.
Nick Foles was
better. And I really think Alex Smith's performance against the Patriots in the playoffs is one of his best. It's not statistically one of his best, but he was under such duress, and I think he really warriored up, and he kept his eyes down the field more than usual. They took away his run game, and he kept fighting and kept the Chiefs in there and gave them a slim chance to win the game. And I'll always respect that game from Alex Smith as my favorite game that Alex Smith ever played. And I think it's because I know the game is more than just I'm pounding Corona Lights and look up when everyone cheers, right? Which I think is a lot of people's football acumen, really. I understand what he has to put into the game. I understand that everything goes into it. But I think that's important is one, because I like this back, like the Chiefs, you know, Andy Reid, I was just blown away that in defending, keeping Bob Sutton, he said, well, everyone wanted me to bench Alex Smith. How'd that work out? Well, first of all, that's a wide-ranging thing. How did it work out? Not well when I see Nick Foles dropping dimes in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
For half the price.
Can't argue with you.
Okay, so that's important for the Chiefs to learn from their mistakes. Okay? Very important. Because one day, hopefully Patrick Mahomes is really good. Hopefully he's got a big contract. And the Chiefs are going to have to make a decision on when the time is to move on from him, right? And you're assuming you're going to be successful, you're going to make that decision, you need to be ready to make that decision. The other thing that I think is important about Foles, and I love Jeff Chedia, and his segments are absolute gold on the Border Patrol. And I was on the road, so I didn't get a chance to come heckle Chedia at the end. Usually he's on my changeover, right? But I was driving up in Lawrence yesterday when he was on. And he said, you know, Jake is the only guy who's more of a Foles fan than me. And so they were going back and forth yesterday. And he said, well, listen, they very easily could have lost the game to the Falcons. And I've heard that, like from some of the Foles haters or the Smith lovers, that, well, he should have been picked off by the Falcons, right? You know, the one that hit the leg and then bounced to the Eagles receiver. Absolutely. Absolutely. He could have lost that game, but he didn't. He didn't make any other mistakes to lose it. And by the way, let me point something out to you. Tom Brady's lost 3 Super Bowls. Tom Brady has lost how many conference championship games?
4.
4. He's been in the playoffs every year. He's been the starter, and he's been the starter since 2001, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So and he was down 1 year.
Yeah.
So that gives us 17 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Tom Brady has lost 12 times in the postseason. 12 times. Does somebody want to tell me he sucks? You've got to be kidding me. You find a game where if your evaluation of Nick Foles is that, well, he could have lost to the Falcons, then I have no time to listen to you. You're not qualified to evaluate quarterbacks because Tom Brady's lost 12 postseason games.
Yep.
12 of them, and he doesn't suck.
I think the little kind of under the radar story here is what are they going to do?
Oh, I agree. They're going to keep him. That's what they're going to do because Carson Wentz probably isn't going to be ready for the beginning of the year. So you keep Nick Foles,
but
that's easy.
What's the contract deal with Nick Foles right now?
He goes up to 7.5 next year.
So they still have him under contract.
They still have him under contract, and I think it goes to he was counted 1 and change this year, and I think next year that jumps. It might even jump to 10. I'm not sure. I can't remember. Maybe I'm getting confused with what his number was here in Kansas City. You might look up his contract, but it's a significant jump. But Carson Wentz only counts 7.
So
you can keep both of them, and you're still cheaper than Alex Smith next year.
And I love the way Carson Wentz played, and I like the way he conducted himself in the playoffs, and it was all great. But what do you get? I mean, you want to talk about a problem. Now, if you put Carson Wentz in and he plays and he loses, what's everybody going to do? They're going to want Nick Foles. I mean, it just causes so many issues.
Well,
you get
rid of him after the second year, but you got to go defend the crown.
Yeah,
and you can't come out of the gate with Ducky Medwick or whoever the hell is the third guy, Solstad or Silver Surfer.
Sudafed.
Who is it?
Jeff Sudafed.
Probably will go on to be a great quarterback because I'm mocking his name. But, yeah, Sudfeld. Look, he counts $7.6 million next year. You don't extend him, right? You come back. And you, I mean, if somebody comes and offers you a first and a third, then you move them and you go get McCown or somebody like that to play for four, five, six games. I mean, if you get an offer you can't refuse, then you move him. If it's a refusable offer, you keep him. He starts the year, and then you hand the job to Wentz. And you're right. If Wentz sucks because he's knocking rust off, it's going to be an ugly year.
Oh, my gosh.
But at the end of the year, Nick Foles moves on, and Wentz is your guy.
Yeah, and just think about Philadelphia and that fan base.
Oh, I know, man.
One interception by Wentz, and that place is going to just go crazy wanting Foles in. And
the best he can do is equal with the guy.
I know. And he's the one who got
him. Everything goes right, he just does what the guy did last year.
Yeah. If Carson Wentz has a Dan Marino career, like he gets to what right. Marino got to one got Super to Bowl one. Only, gets to one and loses it, but goes to the playoffs a lot and has a Hall of Fame passing yards career, he's going to be like, well, it wasn't Nick Foles.
It wasn't Nick Foles.
And I think Nick Foles can play. But I think Nick Foles is a great story of you got to coordinate well, because Jeff Fisher was an absolute disaster and a train wreck.
Right.
And Case Keenum, Nick Foles, and the Ram quarterback,
Goff,
all started playoff games. He had all three of them there. And, I mean, just what a mess he became with the Rams. All right, we'll take a break, talk about a little bit more of the football news and the Chiefs next with Tim Grunhardt. Okay. That's information I'm going to need when that changes, okay? News I need to know.
Petro. Would you say new system? Inside joke.
Not very inside. Tim Grunhardt with us here in the program as we're talking some football. I want to get your thoughts on news. We got a lot of time to break down the Chiefs, which we didn't get to. I know you're ready to do the offense, and we talked all Super Bowl stuff, but we'll get to that.
Good stuff. We got time. We got plenty of time.
Plenty of time throughout the offseason. We'll be talking to Tim all throughout the offseason. Listen, when you hear Josh McDaniels is taking the Colts job and then backing out and going back, do you get the vibe that that's the beginning of the end in New England, that this is – Hold on, don't go because Belichick's about to get run, or Belichick's hitting me up for more money and more control, or when Malcolm Butler fires out at Belichick and Brady supports him,
there's trouble in paradise in New England. There's absolutely trouble in paradise between Kraft and Belichick and between Belichick and Brady and his little guy that runs around and stretches him out and gives him food and works him out and all that, whoever that Cato Kalen is.
By the way, have you seen Tom versus Tom?
You mean
Tom?
Bob Kraft? Oh.
Have you seen Tom versus Time, his little Facebook thing?
I have not, but I did see the two bills.
Yeah, that was good.
And there's just a little bit of if you study the history of this, the little bit between the Parcells and the Belichick, it's kind of rearing its kind of ugly head right now in this situation where,
Kraft versus Belichick,
Belichick versus Brady. And they're not getting along, and there's trouble in paradise, and Josh McDaniels is sitting back and, is he going to be the next guy? And listen, if Kraft probably threw him a bunch of money, said stick around here and let's see what happens. And I think it's bad business by McDaniels to do that. First of all, there's only there's 32 teams, right? There's only 32 head coach jobs, and they're very, very hard to get and very sought after. And you had an opportunity to have
one.
Well,
we know this.
If you screw one of them around,
he will not get offered the job again. And first of all, how he's bailing on, I mean, it sounds like he was agreed to it. He's bailing on it because he hadn't signed the contract. Well, contracts take months to get signed. So that makes him I think that's the part people don't realize is you agree in principle.
Right.
Handshake, then the lawyers haggle it out and work it out. Yep. I'm convinced that's
why. You don't
why,
just walk in there and have a press conference, and there you are. Yeah. You're the guy.
That's why Dana Altman went to Arkansas for about 2 days. That's why, you get down there like, no, this is, I'm not giving on this. Okay, you got to bail out. But for the most part, they're kind of standard coaching contracts. You agree to it, and you're going to go. And when his attorney is alleged to have said, this is the biggest mistake of your career that you're making here and not taking this job,
Condition.
Well, yes. I mean,
he's probably saying, how much money I'm going to make off of this deal? But, what are you doing?
But listen, no one will hire Josh McDaniels now.
No, he's done.
Unless they don't make the playoffs. But there's no point to talk to him and plan on hiring him afterwards, like Matt Patricia went to the Lions, because you can't trust him. So you can only hire him if he says yes and you sign.
But how much of this also is, I know I hear the music, but we need to talk about this. How much of this is McDaniels found out he was going to get the job and everybody came up to him and said, you don't want to deal with that ownership in Indianapolis.
I've said
what
it all
are
along.
You doing? What a joke. You don't want to be there. This is a mistake. Don't go there. And he's probably like, crap.
Yeah, listen, we're going to talk to Bob Glauber on Friday, and I told Bob at the time, like, listen,
mess.
Working for Ursa, he's like, no, Ursa's fine. I'm like, come on, man.
No.
The guys.
I've heard horror stories about that guy.
Have you?
Okay. Horror stories. By free agents and everything else and getting screwed around. We got plenty of time. We'll talk about it.
All right,
we got
Timmy.
Good stuff coming up.
Great stuff. Timmy Grunhard with us all throughout the offseason. We talk football every single week with Tim Grunhard.